Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, no matter where you're listening, around the world, this is Sedona Talk Radio.
Hi, movie lovers, this is Joanna Paxinou, and you're listening to At the Movies with Joanna. And today we are very excited to have with us a terrific, wonderful guest. He's Patrick Schweiss, the director of the Sedona International Film Festival, which is being held this year in Sedona, February 20th to the 27th. And this wonderful film festival has grown to become one of the most influential in the country and one of the outstanding events in Sedona. Welcome, Pat. We're so glad you're here.
Thanks, Joanna. Thanks so much for having me on again.
Oh, it's our pleasure, always. There's so many exciting things going on with the festival, and we have so little time, but I do want to ask, is there anything special you're doing this year that you haven't done before?
Well, our biggest thing this year, I think, truly, is the fact that we've got now a brand new venue that is three times larger than our largest venue in the past. We're very fortunate to still be back at Harkins Theaters as our main venue and sponsor host, but this year they built the brand new 750-seat Sedona Performing Arts Center at the high school here. So what that allows us to do is basically expand our audience draw by almost three times as much. So we're able to put a lot more high-profile films into a much, much larger venue so that more people will be able to see the films and meet the celebrity guests and take in all the wonderful things that Sedona Film Festival has to offer.
Well, that's exciting. That is a big change. Tell us about the films. I know there's 145 films that will be available for viewing at the festival. Tell us about the high standards, the criteria for selecting the films that you include in the festival.
Oh, sure. We've got we have a really rigorous screening process. We weed through about 1,000 films that our incredible screening committee of 30 people. They're all volunteers. They weed through and look at every film meticulously and compare it on 8 different categories. And some of those categories include acting, directing, writing, editing, the suitability to our festival, cinematography, those type of things. And they all get a compiled score. And the ones, obviously, that rate the highest rise to the top and get asked to the film festival. And the ones that don't quite meet those standards sadly get a rejection letter. There's a lot of really wonderful independent films, and we've even had to turn away some really quite good ones just because there's just not enough space in our lineup. So we like to think that we've weeded down to include the 145 that really represent the best of the best this year. So that's kind of where probably about 80% of our lineup comes in. And then the other 20%, we actually actively scout at film festivals across the nation and around the world. We have scouts that either go to them or we keep online tabs on the award winners and the ones that are getting the most buzz around the world, and we invite them, we actually solicit them to come to our festival and showcase their film. So it's kind of a nice combination of those that have never been seen before that come in through our process and those that are really getting some high-profile recommendations from other festivals and award-winning from around the world.
Well, the film festival, especially the Sedona one, really offers independent producers and filmmakers an opportunity to reach the public. How do you see the independent film industry going as in the near future?
Well, you know, it's really taken off the last few years. Independent films have become much, much more, I don't want to say mainstream, but much more popular with not only the movie going public, but with filmmakers and with celebrities as well. There's so much more freedom and creativity in independent films. It's not the typical standard formula that Hollywood blockbusters offer. You know, got to have a tragedy by page 90. You got to have this. You know, it's different. There's a set formula that works for Hollywood and works for the blockbusters that make the millions and millions of dollars at the box office. Independent films break that mold. And they're able to expand on the creativity and get much more, have much more creative license, both with the writing, with the directing. Actors are loving this. I mean, you'll see a lot of really big-name celebrity actors taking on independent film projects for that very, very reason. And they're doing it either without receiving their standard fee or working for the standard SAG very, very minimum for an independent film just because they believe in the process. And I think you're going to see a lot more of that. The Oscars are starting to recognize that. The Golden Globes are starting to recognize that. There's a lot more films that originally started out as independent films that are now up for those major awards. And I think that sends a really nice message, and it's sending a really nice message to Hollywood, quite frankly.
Yes, and it's exciting, too, to see that. I know you said that each film selected for the festival meets very stringent requirements, but are there any films that you find particularly outstanding this year in your festival?
Oh, there's a lot. And it's really hard to answer that question because they're all so wonderful in so many different ways. You know, first and foremost, we're going to have one that's going to be the biggest hit of our festival because it was filmed here. Sedona, the motion picture. Sedona itself became the backdrop, a Hollywood backlot for almost 2 months this summer while a major motion picture was shot here. And several people in town, hundreds of people in town here, were extras or film crew and that type of thing. So it's probably the biggest opening we will ever have, including the whole cast being here. Frances Fisher leading the way, of course, as the leading lady. Beth Grant, Lynn Shay, Christopher Atkins, Barry Corbin. I mean, some really incredibly gifted actors and actresses are gracing us with their presence. So Sedona the Motion Picture is really a nice way to kick off our festival and honor a film that was shot here. And it's a beautiful postcard to Sedona. I mean, the scenery, the cinematic shots are just extraordinary. So that's a film that's very, very special for many, many reasons. And in addition to the fact that it's a good film, one of the strongest in our lineup is The First Grader, a really powerful film out of South Africa and England, about Maruge, who's in his 80s and has never been further than a first-grade education because of the war that broke out and the genocide that was happening in his country. And he actually witnessed his wife and children being brutally murdered. And suddenly now he finds a loophole in the system that he can go back at age 80-something and become a first-grader and get the education that he so desperately wanted all of his life. It is the most triumphant, beautiful story of human inspiration that you'll ever want to come across. I mean, it's absolutely extraordinary. And we've got so many films that are like that. You know, we have an incredible film in the lineup called Ways to Live Forever, about a little boy who's about to become a teenager and has a horrible form of leukemia that he won't live to see his teenage years. And all he wants to do, he's got the most wonderful outlook on life, all he wants to do is experience his first kiss, his first beer, his first drag on a cigarette. And it's absolutely remarkable, and it's one that not only should every human being see in this world, but every student should see, and every teenager, you know, who thinks that their life is, you know, that they've got problems, they should see this film and realize, you know what, we have it pretty lucky, you know, or yes. God forbid anyone has to face this. It's a really inspiring story of hope and love. So, you know, you got that, too. You've got three wonderful Oscar-nominated films that we have in the lineup, two of which are up for Best Documentary. One is Wasteland, and the other one is one of our closing night films called Inside Job. And then we have another Oscar-nominated film up for Best Screenplay, Mike Leigh's film Another Year. And it's just a really wonderful, fun comedy out of London. So, you know, there's just treasures for absolutely everybody for many, 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 many different reasons. And, I mean, really, truly, our environmental lineup is extraordinary. We've got The River Wye, Bagot, some really powerful things about protecting the environment. And then we found this wonderful sub-theme kind of developing. We got a lot of really great films from either from South Africa or about South Africa, or characters in them, and one of them is Desert Flower. Desert Flower is just this remarkable film and a very sad and touching film and yet a triumphant film as well about the beautiful model out of South Africa who was really horrifically sexually mutilated as a young girl and through her fame came out and spoke about the horrific things that were being done to females in that country. And the bravery that it showed for her standing up for that and the risk she took for her career.
Oh, tremendous courage, my God.
Really wonderful things. So there really is. It's hard to even think of a favorite or which ones are favorites. You know, we've got our strongest representation of foreign films in our lineup ever, including a film called Anita out of Argentina and Poetry out of Korea. Some just really remarkable films.
Well, what an exciting variety of films, too. I mean, this is really very, very fascinating that you have from one spectrum to the other. And documentaries have really progressed tremendously in the last few years.
They really have.
Are you seeing more and more documentaries entered into the festival?
You know, we are. And we're actually seeing, not only are we seeing more and more documentaries, we're seeing also that the public is thirsty for a good documentary. I mean, you know, again, there's that wonderful break that documentaries offer from the typical Hollywood box office smash successes. And you know that you're getting truth, you're getting real life, you're getting something that's not fiction. I mean, you can't, this is research documented things. And especially for people who are interested in the particular subject matter, you know, documentaries really feed that, both that desire for entertainment and that desire for knowledge.
Yes.
And I mean, we're seeing some incredible, incredible ones that I think the audience will really devour. And also that will entertain. I mean, we've got, you know, you don't often find a funny documentary, but we actually have a funny documentary in the lineup, and that's called Exporting Raymond. And it's about the creator of Everybody Loves Raymond, Phil Rosenthal, was approached by TV executives in Russia and said, we want a TV sitcom formula format over in Russia that does exactly what Everybody Loves Raymond did in America, you know, a typical family and the funny things that they go through. Well, Phil was delighted to be able to do this, and he decided to take a camera crew with him and document them trying to come up with this concept in Russia. So every bit of footage you see on this film is absolutely true, and it happened, and it's not scripted. It's 100% of what happened, and it's funnier than any sitcom or film you ever could have written, because the culture in Russia is so different than the culture here, and trying to put our little box of what works in comedy in a home setting into a Russian comedy is completely like apples and oranges. And
yes,
the characters
I can understand
that they meet. Oh yeah, and the characters that they meet are just nuttier than fruitcakes, and how Phil and his staff react to them becomes even crazier. So, you know, so there's this thing that's both entertaining at the same time as it is informative and kind of a cultural lesson as well.
That sounds exciting, too. Very interesting, though, from a totally different perspective.
Very much.
And I know one of my favorite parts of the festival is the appearance of Robert Osborne, the Turner Classic Movies host. And I understand he's not able to attend this year, but tell us about his participation.
Sure. Robert has been at our festival now the last 3 years, and he's also appeared in Sedona three other times throughout the year. He brought us Tony Curtis last year in a special event that was separate from our film festival. Last fall, he brought us Marge Champion and Showboat, and just a month ago, he brought us Jane Powell and Seven Brides for Seven Brothers. And so he's become not only a dear friend of our festivals, but a dear personal friend to me as well. And he always blocks off the time for us. He makes sure that he's available in February. And he handpicks three very specific classic films that he wants to share with our audience for one reason or another. It might be a great acting. It might be a great story. It might just be a great classic film. But he has very specific reasons that he chooses these films. And I'll tell you about the films in just a second that he's selected for this year. But one of the unfortunate things that happened for us, very fortunate for him, but unfortunate for us, was the Oscars now fall on the closing night of our film festival. So he is the red carpet greeter for Turner Classic Films, and he welcomes everyone out of their limousine, gets a few minutes of FaceTime with them in an interview format. And so he literally has to be in California for 3 or 4 days before that to prepare, which is right during our festival. Well, so we decided to move his films earlier in the festival lineup. Well, then they got the phone call that they've been waiting for 3 years. It turns out Cher is a major Turner Classic Movies fan. In fact, it's written into her rider on her contract. Wherever she appears in concert, they have to get Turner Classic Films on TVs in her dressing room, and they have to have Turner Classic Films in the hotel where she's staying. If not, she doesn't perform there. So when Turner realized this, they called up and said, you know, we really want you to host a segment with Robert Osborne. So they've been waiting for 3 years, and literally the only days available in her schedule were the 3 days we were going to have Robert here in Sedona. Sadly, you know, we had to give him that. I mean, his day job has to come first. And so he will be spending time with Cher and then going right on to the Oscars. But what he did for us, because he loves our festival so much, he recorded personal introductions specifically for our Sedona audience for each of the three films he selected. He did them in his studio at Turner and made them very personal to us. So we'll be showing those, each separate one, before the classics that he selected. And this year he chose...
Lovely.
I know, I think it's really quite special. This year he chose North by Northwest, The Heiress, which stars one of his very dear personal friends, Olivia de Havilland, and The Third Man as the three classics. So he really wanted to show a variety of films and for, you know, a variety of reasons with extraordinary acting and really incredible classic films.
Interesting films, all of them. Very different, too. You know, at one of the festivals I attended where Robert Osborne was there, he made a statement that he said, you really need to see these old films in a theater, not on television like most of us have seen them, because there is a very big difference when you see the same film in a theater. And that really resonated with me, and it is a big difference when you see the film in the theater as opposed to the television. You just pick up a lot more nuances. I appreciated the acting more. I picked up more subtle things. So that really is a very valid point.
It really is. And, you know, you don't really realize how significant that is until you kind of see the next generation of moviegoers, or this current generation, or even one generation ago. You know, we are so in tune with the VCR, DVD, Blu-ray, TiVo kind of thing that literally anything is at our fingertips on a computer screen, on a laptop, on your home TV, that you don't remember sometimes that those images you're seeing, especially on classic films, were meant for a much, much larger screen. And to put yourself in the theater and experience that the way it was truly meant to be experienced on the big screen with that sound is quite an extraordinary and very, very different experience than on your TV set. So what I like about what he's doing is not only does it take all of us back who remember that so well, it exposes it to a generation who'd never seen these films on that screen.
Yes.
You know, for so many people, Gone with the Wind is an extraordinary, extraordinary film that they either were forced to watch because it was a college project or something like that, but all of it was done, a lot of them, on their TV set or, you know, downloading it off the internet. They don't often realize that, wow, this was meant for a much bigger, much more grand experience in the real theater.
Oh, you lose the whole sweep of Gone with the Wind on the television. I mean,
exactly.
You lose
it's not
so
the,
much
it's
of
not
it.
The same film at all.
No, and even in an intimate setting, I remember seeing Casablanca in the theater. I had a whole different perspective of Humphrey Bogart because it was just more intimate, and I realized, you know, he really was a very fine actor, and you lose so much on the television. So I just praise Mr. Osborne for doing this because it's so important to the culture of film and the history of film.
You know, it really is, and he's, you know, to me, he is, through what he does every night on Turner Classics and what he's done now with Alec Baldwin on the Essentials program and the different variety of guest programmers he has, you know, they're putting familiar faces now with young people, actors and actresses that they know and love from what they do, and having them tell people how important this is, this Hollywood of yesteryear, that we honor, you know, these classic films and honor the legend that is Hollywood that is kind of lost now. It's a different Hollywood.
It is, definitely, definitely.
Yeah.
Well, I see you also have some really extraordinary guests attending. So could you tell us a little bit about the where the red carpet meets the red rocks and tell us
Absolutely.
About your guests?
Yeah, we thought we'd capitalize on our red rock thing. And you know, every year we manage to get a nice menagerie of incredible celebrity guests, and this year is no exception. You know, Nicolas Cage is coming, and we're so honored. You know, he loves Sedona. He comes here frequently throughout the year just because he loves it so much, and he's hoping to buy a home here.
Oh.
And he's a dear friend of one of our board members. So we were able to say, you know, Nicolas, this is the year we want you. And what I really like about Nicolas is he didn't want us to feature a film that he acts in. He... He knows people know him as an actor. That's how he became famous. That's how he has the throngs of fans. But he actually wrote, he directed and co-wrote a film 6 or 7 years ago called Sonny. It was James Franco's first starring film role. And Brenda Bleffen is in the film and another bunch of wonderful other actors. And he wanted us to show that because he wanted to show off his talent behind the camera, that people know him for his work in front of the camera, but he's so proud of this behind-the-camera work. So we're showing a great film and having a great discussion with him. Gary Sinise is representing Lieutenant Dan Band, which is a wonderful band that he has. In fact, he's receiving our Humanitarian Award for the great group work that he and his band do. You know, he's very – it's not that he's pro-war, but he's pro-country. And if the country is in a war or helping out Iraq and Afghanistan, then we as – citizens should get behind that and should support our troops, and rather than fight them and rather than this kind of thing, support them. And so he put together a band. He's a bass guitar player, and he put together a band and named it after his character in Forrest Gump, because no one ever remembers the name Gary Sinise. They look at him and go, "Hey, you're that guy. You're that Lieutenant Dan from Forrest Gump." So he takes that and he entertains through the USO and through different appearances. He goes over and entertains the troops, he and his band, and shows the support of what they're doing. And, I mean, it's really a remarkable, remarkable story and a remarkable, very patriotic film, which is lovely. Jonathan Winters, of course, is nuttier than a fruitcake and is receiving our Lifetime Achievement Award. And we're showing a great film that he's in, a very funny comedy called Certifiably Jonathan. He is an artist as well as a comedian. He's taken on art in the last few years. And the whole point of the film is him trying to get hung in the Museum of Modern Art.
Uh-huh.
And, of course, with him being the comedian he is, he takes the word hung and kind of, you know, hung as in hanging or artist being hung, and he sets out and you meet a whole cadre of his friends. I mean, Robin Williams and him are like they were separated at birth. I mean, they're just two peas in a pod. And everyone that he's performed with, Tim Conway over the years and all the wonderful Maude and Ma Fricker things that they did together.
Marvelous,
very, very fun.
Marvelous talent, yes.
Very fun. And then also in that comedy vein, Rita Rudner, the comedian from Las Vegas, and she's got HBO specials, and so a wonderful, well-known, world-renowned comedian is coming in. Her husband did a film called Thanks that's actually set around Thanksgiving time in a family and friends giving thanks for what they're thankful for, despite the fact that they're going through the horrible economic downturn of the last few years. And it's a very moving film. Ironically, the film itself is not a comedy. It's got comedic moments. It's a very serious, very touching film. And you see a really wonderful side of Rita Rudner. So she's going to hop up on stage and give us a little stand-up and present a wonderful film with her husband. And then we're also really proud to honor Rip Torn with a Lifetime Achievement Award for his acting on stage and on screen. He's a very fine actor. Very, very fine actor. And we're going to show two of his films. Defending Your Life is one of them, the Albert Brooks film, and Cross Creek. So we're going to do that at each of the different films. He'll have two different sessions that he'll speak at. And he really wanted to speak. Those are two of his favorite films of his career and two very different films. One more of a comedy, one a very serious drama, and that he really felt compelled to talk about. So terrific, terrific actor, and his son is a professor up at Northern Arizona University, so that's how we got him. He's become a good friend, and we're very excited to have him here. And then we're also honoring David Rashi, a gifted, gifted character actor who has been with us. He was here last year for a film, In the Loop, and he fell in love with our festival, and at that time said, "I just finished a film in Brazil where I play a U.S. Customs officer." Uh-huh. And right after he left for our festival, of course, Arizona went through that whole immigration fiasco that was the governor's office. And you know, that where it put Arizona really in the front of the limelight about the illegal immigration issues and things. And this film really tied in timely with that. So David Rashi's coming back. And, of course, as I said, the whole cast of Sedona the Motion Picture. So we've got a lot of celebrities that will be running around all over town, plus Phil Rosenthal from Everybody Loves Raymond. It'll be a really wonderful time to rub elbows with some luminaries.
Oh, that's exciting. That's all exciting. And as if you don't have a full enough schedule, you're also offering free festival workshops at the Zaki Gordon Institute for Independent Filmmaking. And there's quite a variety of projects, but one particularly interesting one is investigating cross-cultural dialogue, new initiatives by Chinese young female directors. Wow.
We've got the head of the Beijing Film Academy in China coming in, and you know, we're so honored. I had the opportunity to meet him a few years ago when he happened to be in town at the same time as our festival, and we've kind of kept in contact ever since then. And he was in town, he was doing a lecture at UCLA and came over to visit a friend in Sedona about 3 months ago, and I said, you know, would you ever come back and do this, and do you know of any really great Chinese films? We don't often get great films from China represented in our lineup. What do you think? And he actually said there was a film that a former student of his, a female director by the name of Chow Chow, and she did a film called Close to the Sun. And he said it's winning awards all over China and all over France where the lead actress is from. And he said, if you'd like, I'd love to bring Chow Chow here and bring that film here and also do a lecture on cross-cultural dialogue and Chinese directors and what's new in Chinese cinema. And so
It's very cool.
I think it's a really nice cross-cultural dialogue, a really nice friendship between us and China and the Film Academy there. And I think it's going to open the doors to a lot more wonderful things in the future, in addition to this extraordinary and free workshop. It's a lecture he's given, and it's free and open to the public on Wednesday of our festival, which is the 23rd of February.
Oh, that is so exciting, so interesting. And to actually be able to see, you know, films made in China, that's a unique opportunity.
Absolutely.
That's fascinating. What about the other workshops? I know they're all special, but can you tell us a little bit more about the other workshops you're offering?
Yeah. Well, we have got one that's really, you know, it's the independent film industry is so hard to break into, and when you have a really great film, it's even harder than to get the film shown and seen by thousands and millions of people around the world. So one of the leading PR firms that represents films and tries to get them into mainstream cinema, Murray Weissman and Associates, are giving a free workshop called You've Made a Movie, Congratulations, But Now What?
Yeah.
In talking about getting your film out and getting it marketed and seen in the public, because so many people and filmmakers build a budget for a film and forget all about the after film marketing and getting into the theater's budget.
Yes, the distribution is so important.
Oh, it is. We're doing three other wonderful talks and roundtable discussions with filmmakers that are here for the festival. A screenwriting one that says it all starts with a story. And then followed by a producer's roundtable. What does a producer do? Those two are on Thursday, February 24th. And then on Friday, February 25th, we've got cinematography panel discussion and demonstrations, and then a wonderful roundtable about our sustainable future that kind of goes hand in hand with our environmental films and our sustainable films in our Sedona Green series. So we've got a really nice thing. So whether you want, I always say whether your spot is behind the scenes or behind a tub of popcorn. We've got something for everybody at the festival.
Well, you certainly do. And our time has come to an end. I can go on talking forever with you. Everything is so exciting. And I want to personally thank you not only for coming and spending time with us today, but for the wonderful work you're doing for film lovers and for producers and independent filmmakers to make everybody's dreams come true. Thank you so much, Patrick. I wish you continued success. I love what you're doing. Keep doing it. And thank you for being with us.
Thank you. Thank you, Joanna. And we'll see you back at the festival.
Thank you. And folks, that's a wrap.